Well, it is great to have you here with us today. And as mentioned, this is our Global Impact Celebration Sunday, sort of. In April is usually our time when we have a whole weekend dedicated to our partners, both local, national, international. We bring them from all over the world to come and have a celebration together of what God is doing. But this year, we weren't able to do that because of COVID-19. And so we decided to push it into the fall, and here we are. And so we're going to do the best that we can over this Sunday and next Sunday just to give you some updates on what's been happening. And some of you don't even know our partners, and we'd like to introduce some of them to you. Global Focus is really our missions program that we have here at the church. This would have been our 14th Global Impact Celebration. 14 years ago, we, as a church, were trying to figure out how best to do missions around the world. Where do we go? Who do we partner with? So many doors were opening to us, and we felt like we were just sort of going here, there, and everywhere, but maybe not having the kind of fruit that we wanted to have. And so we determined that we were going to narrow our focus, and thus the name Global Focus. We wanted to narrow our focus so that we could partner with a few so we could have maximum impact with those. And so that has meant saying no to a lot of good things, but it has also allowed us to really get to know our partners well and also to really help them be effective in what they're doing. And so we have partners that are local right here in our own city. We have some national partners, and then we have some international partners. Today's emphasis is going to be on our local and national partners. One of the things that we wanted to do was help you as a church and help us as a church get our people engaged in the mission of Jesus. We believe that God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we wanted a way to activate our people. And so we have a couple goals with our Global Focus program that we want to see our church activated, and we also want to raise resources. And so every year we take up a faith commitment offering. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that at the end. But I want to tell you that in 14 years of doing Global Focus, we've raised over $3.5 million from this church. That's pretty cool. This April, because we did not have our Global Impact Celebration, normally we have about $25,000 budgeted just to bring all our partners in and put on that weekend. But because we couldn't bring them in, we said we want to send that money out. And we also took up a special COVID relief fund in addition to what we normally do. And I've been told that since April, we have sent almost $65,000 out to our partners that was above and beyond what we would normally do. So thank you so much, Harvest City Church, for giving extra this year. Okay, at the end of the service, we're going to talk a little bit more about that faith commitment offering. But today, we have some of our local partners here with us. And so I just want to invite Glenn and Julie Povey, and also Attila and Emily Chakan. Did I say that right? Similar? So why don't you guys just come on up on the stage. Glenn and Julie Povey were sent out from Harvest City Church, is that true? Or we released you long ago in the 80s to plant a church here in the core of our city called Morningstar Ministries. And they've been partners with us right from the beginning. They're doing a great work there in the core. And one of the things that we've been praying with you about is that God would send you some help, another ministry couple to help share the load. And you now have an answer to that prayer, and we're going to hear from them in a little bit. But Glenn, what I'd like you to do this morning is just sort of give us a brief update on how Morningstar is doing in this time, and also how is your health doing? Because we know that that's been a matter of prayer as well. Okay. Is your mic turned on? It is now.
Thanks so much for your continued support of Morningstar Ministries. Like everyone else, we were closed down for months, and finally had our first service on July 5th. At this time, we're having small services of about 40 or less adults and are attempting to have a small Sunday school as well. We're having prayer times during the week and smaller meetings with young adults and youth groups. The Christian school started with 20 enthusiastic, very active students. We're concerned that we can't yet have a gathering of our full congregation and are concerned about the well-being of a number of the people. But we keep in touch with people by phone and also try to visit people in their homes or at least do a home visit with them. We also keep in touch with them online. Thanks for praying for my health. My transplanted kidney is working very well. I was diagnosed with, yes, amen, that's good. I was diagnosed with chronic leukemia in the fall of 2019, so about a year ago. And the chemo pills I initially got to combat this disease were very strong. I ended up in the hospital and things like that. But now I'm on a lower dose and I feel much better, other than fatigue. That's the one thing that seems to hit me a lot. Today we want to introduce to you Attila and Emily and their three daughters. Lucy is not here right now, but Poppy and Frankie are here. And on July 1st, 2019, they came from Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener, Ontario, so Attila could do his internship here. And then he came on staff February 1st of this year. And Attila will share some things with you, so go ahead.
Awesome. So, Attila, why don't you introduce yourselves to us? And I know that you're originally from Hungary. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
So can you tell us, as a church here, what brings a guy from Hungary all the way to Regina to work in this city? And why do you feel called here?
Well, sometimes I wonder myself. I was born and raised in Hungary. In 2010, I went to the States as an international student. And in 2012, I had a very drastic encounter with Jesus. My life completely turned around. He put me in a path of evangelism and ministry. And so I believe in 2017, I went to school to do my bachelor's of theology degree. And part of that degree was an internship, as Glenn mentioned. And we knew that the Lord wanted us to finish the school. I did not want to go to school. And I almost escaped twice, but the Lord kind of caught me and brought me back. And we weren't sure why I had to do the school. And so we were really praying. And near the end of my degree, as I said, I had to do an internship. So we were really praying the Lord would guide us to his will for us. And through some divine appointments, we met with Glenn. And I through a friend of a friend, and he took us on as interns, although he was hesitant at first. He was trying to make it difficult a little bit at first. I was like kind of a test. Are you sure you want to come to North Central? And we were sure. Now we have questions. So, you know, when you pray to the Lord, let your will be done, and then you go to, why is this your will, Lord? So, no, I'm just kidding. No, we have a really blessed ministry. And in short, that's how we got here. It was really, I mean, if you really want a short answer, it was God, you know. But since I have 3 minutes, I had to speak more, right? So, but it was really God's will. And I think at every corner we feel that the Lord is in this, and we see our ministry expanding. We see lots of divine appointments, and the Lord is really working in North Central right now. So pray for us, because I have a strong feeling some great things are ahead, and the Lord already told us that he has some great plans for the church and North Central and Regina.
What sort of role are you playing in the church right now? Does Glenn do anything anymore?
Well, that's why he's laughing. Because he's in retired mode, so he's on his lazy boy. With a cocktail, and, you know, when something comes up, Attila, can you do this for me? You know, the toilet is clogged up. Can you please fix it? No, I'm officially an assistant pastor/youth pastor, so I do pastoral work. but I also do youth work. We reach out to the youth as well of North Central. So it's kind of many things, from evangelism, outreaches, to visitations, to preaching on Sunday, to youth work, kind of a manifold ministry. But we are in the process of kind of narrowing it down and really focusing on the most important things.
Okay. Yep. Well, it would be nice to hear so much more and hear from your wife, too. But maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for coming this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
And being here with us. We love to be able to partner with you guys. All right. Well, one of the other local ministries that we have is Love Lives Here. And Alden and Kate Ludwig, who are members of this church, lead that ministry. It's a ministry that takes place right on the streets of Regina. They do a lot of work with street workers and people that are struggling with addictions and those sorts of things. And they have a bus that goes out onto the street several times a week. Now, because of COVID, they haven't been able to go, and so there's not a whole lot to report. But we had Alden just come in quickly to give us a brief update. I think it's about a minute and a half here, but Alden will just sort of explain what they've been up to or haven't been up to and what their plans are for the fall.
Over the summer, with COVID, we shut down, but we also own a campground, and because of that, it's very difficult to get away during the summer because we have to have somebody there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we haven't been out, but we are planning to start up again. We've been able to work the campground into some aspects of ministry, and that the girls from the Shell home, who Kate works with very closely, she does Genesis with the girls there, were able to come out and spend a weekend camping, and they said it was awesome. One of their best experiences ever. Because we are members of the Christian Motorcycle Association, we actually have several members of the CMA at the campground. One is the chaplain, and we've been able to gather on Sunday mornings. Some of our volunteers who have close contacts with people on the street have been out, and they've been talking with them, and they're all asking, where's the bus? We want to see the bus. So although they know that you've been praying for them, we've been praying for them, they want to see us in person. We're still working out exactly how that will look, but we definitely want to be out there. The bus was vandalized a couple times over the summer, so we still have to clean it up before we take it out, but your prayers are what we ask for the most.
All right, so let's continue to keep lifting them up in prayer and hope they can get back out on the streets right away. My parents moved into the campground this summer with Kate and Alden, so we were out there a few times, and it really is a neat place that they're using their campground even to do ministry for the Lord, and there's lots of neat things that are happening right out there, so they're keeping busy. Well, another one of our local partners is here with us, and that's Donna West. So Donna, why don't you come up onto the stage? Donna leads a ministry in our city called City Kids. And so maybe, Donna, for those who don't know about City Kids or what you do, why don't you just begin today by just giving us a little, just telling us what it is that City Kids does.
For sure. So I'll start off by saying, at City Kids, we believe that every child should have the right to have hope, the right to dream big, and the right to have an image of a positive future. So our mission is to increase resiliency and inspire big dreams for children living in low-income communities. So yeah, focusing on the North Central community right now, that is exactly what we're doing. We have three components to our program, and that's our City Kids Saturday, which is for ages 5 to 12. And we do door-to-door transportation, and we also provide a nutritional lunch for every child. We want to remove all those barriers that would hinder a child from attending. And so it's a very high-energy, Christian faith-based program that is teaching the kids life value lessons through biblical lessons and just an encouragement to them. Our second part is our home visits, and that is every child and youth registered with City Kids receives a home visit right at their home. And we just want to continue to build that mentorship, get to know the parents, let them know who we are, and let them know we are here to help them and support them. And then, of course, we also do our City Youth, and that's for ages 12 to 17. And that's just to get them back involved in the program. They are learning leadership skills, and we're also introducing things like resume building and financial building, and just, again, helping them to get that next step out into the world.
Awesome. So how has COVID-19 affected you?
Well, I think like everybody else, we were shut down. And the thing is, we had just had our very first Saturday program for the spring after having our winter break. And so the kids were all excited to be back. We were getting into the groove of things. And just like everybody else, without any warning, doors were shut. Everything came to an end. We couldn't even do our home visits at that time because of the face-to-face contact. And so, yeah, it was a challenge. We turned our home visits into phone calls, which is also a very challenge because a lot of these families change their phone numbers weekly. So it was hard to stay connected. But one of the testimonies I want to share with our church today was I actually ended up having to go into self-isolation because I had been in contact with somebody that tested positive. So as I was making my home phone calls, we have a great grandma raising 6 great-grandchildren. She had talked to me during the home visit, her phone call, and was telling me that they had to take one of the younger boys to the hospital. He was having a high fever and coughing. But thankfully, it turned out to be asthma and not COVID. And there's a few family members with asthma, so they were staying very close to home. So I asked Grandma, what can we do to help you? Do you need anything? They had just purchased groceries, but a family of 8 people in a house, toilet paper goes through very quickly. And of course, we all know right at the very beginning, that was a very high need commodity. So I'm like, okay, what can I do for this family? I'm in isolation. So I was praying, asking the Lord to show me somebody that will help this family. The next morning, I was on Facebook, and Hope Construction had a post on there saying, if you're in isolation and need anything, reach out to us. So Hope Construction has partnered with City Kids a few times and helped us out, so I gave them a call. Within an hour, they had a large package of toilet paper on Grandma's doorstep. Yes. She was just so excited. She called me and she said, how did you do that so quickly? So we want to say thank you to Hope Construction, but also to Harvest City, because without our partnership here, I wouldn't have connected up with them.
Awesome. Well, how much did Ron pay you to give him a plug this morning? Don, I know that you have some fundraisers that are coming up, and I think there's some that maybe we can help with. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
For sure. So again, finances is one of the things that's been impacted. So what can we do to help build those finances? So Sherwood Co-op is actually doing a community-based fundraiser that they've asked us to partner with. And we are selling gift cards for the Sherwood Co-op. And up until Friday, we have until Friday, October 2nd, to sell these gift cards. So you will get the full dollar value of the gift card that you purchase, and we will get 8% from the co-op. And so I think that's, you know, we all need groceries, we all need gas. They are good at any one of the stores in Regina, whether it's a gas bar, the Home Mud Center, or the grocery stores. So yeah, you can, you know, if you want to purchase a gift card, you can reach out to me. My website, our email is donna@citykids.ca, and we will get that purchased for you. The other one is being held right here at Harvest City, so again, thank you for the support. And that is Becky Klein is going to be hosting a paint night for us on Tuesday, October 6th. And she's going to walk you through all the steps of painting this beautiful picture that you will be proud to hang on your wall afterwards. And it's going to be a fall picture, birch tree in fall colors. And so again, registration would be on our City Kids Facebook page or through the Eventbrite website. And so, yeah, if you want to come out, and I know we're all itching to start getting out and doing a little more fellowship, and I know Harvest City will do a great job of making sure the COVID protocols are all in place.
Well, I might be interested in buying a gift card, but I won't be out at the paint night. I'm just going to be honest. All right, Donna, it's great to hear that things are still continuing on, and we love the work that you're doing. We know we have many of your volunteers come from Harvest City Church
as well. Do.
Yeah. And so keep going, and we'll pray that God continues to expand this ministry.
Great. Thank you.
All right. All right. Another one of our partners is not a local partner. It's a national partner, But it's in some ways it's an international partner. We partner with One Book Canada. And what One Book Canada is involved in is Bible translation in different places in the world where there is no Bible in a native language, so to speak. There are tribal places within the world where there literally is no written language. And so before you can even translate the Bible, you have to develop a written language. And so one of the places that we are involved with directly through One Book Canada is in Cameroon with a tribal people known as the Men Tribe, M-M-E-N, Men. And so we've been involved for the last number of years. We are one of the main funders of this project to get the Bible into their language. And so Ted Serres is the CEO of One Book Canada, and we've come to really love Ted over the last number of years. And he actually was in Regina on Thursday. We met with him and got an update from him. And so we just did a quick interview with him and asked him to give us a report on what is happening in Cameroon, and specifically with the project that we've been involved in. Is it coming to completion? Where is it at? And so he's going to give us an update for you.
Well, it's a big shout out to Harvest City Church for all your prayers and your financial support over these past few months. In Cameroon, the project that you are supporting and praying for is the Men Project, and it is going ahead despite COVID. There's about 7 or 8 books left to complete with the quality checking of the New Testament, and hopefully in 2021 they'll have the whole Bible done, printed and distributed, and there'll be a big, huge celebration, and I'm sure anybody from this church is welcome to attend that celebration. They'd love to have you there. The COVID crisis has stopped or at least paused some of the translation process because there's so much work that has to be done in community. Once the translators come up with the first draft, it has to go to a community group to read it, and then it goes back to the translators. So it's a little difficult to meet that way in groups. But the partner, our partner over there, the Cameroon Association of Bible Translation and Literacy, CABTL, they took the government material on COVID-19 about how serious it was, how to take proper, hygiene and preventable measures that were given from the government in English and French, and they translated that into mother tongue languages so that all the men communities could have that information in their language. So COVID-19 is only one other crisis added to the list in Cameroon. So Cameroon, of course, is dealing with a French-English conflict, and if you live in the English part, the two English provinces of Cameroon, you really don't know who to trust. And the rebels, the English rebels and the French forces, they're both involved in burning down villages and killing people. It's just really atrocious what's happening there. So that's one conflict. The other conflict is you've got the Boko Haram from Nigeria coming down into the northern parts of Cameroon and doing terrorist acts there. And so there's, they're dealing with that challenge. There's a political challenge with a possible change in government happening where a dictator may be stepping down from his position. Nobody really knows. And so COVID is just another crisis that they have to deal with. A lot of the people in the English provinces, the translators, they've moved to Bamenda to do their work together. It's a little safer in that city, but the men team decided to stay in the men villages and do their work there. And so one of the translators did have to attend a meeting in Bamenda with all the other translators. So as he was driving to Bamenda, because of the conflict and the insurgents there, the road was blocked. He couldn't get through. And so he got out of his vehicle and walked the rest of the way to Bamenda. Now, that's dedication. I think he had to walk about 30 kilometers just to get to that one meeting. I just drove from Saskatoon here to Regina today, and I'm thinking, if the road was closed, if Highway 11 was closed, I probably would have called Joel up and just said, hey, I can't make it. The highway's closed. But these guys are really dedicated. The people that you are supporting are really, really, really dedicated to what they're doing and to the cause. It's just passion with them, and they'll do anything, including risking their lives, to get God's word out to those people, the Bible-less people, those who have never heard the name of Jesus. So thanks again so much for all of your prayers. It really, really helps.
So it is exciting to hear that the completion of the project is near. And it would really be great. We need to pray that the doors open, that we could fly to Cameroon, because it would be awesome to go with a team of people from our church to the dedication of that Bible. So I hope that that can happen. Well, one of our other national partners are Sheldon and Candace Reed, and they are involved in planting a church in St. John's, Newfoundland, actually Conception Bay South, which is sort of a suburb of St. John's, Newfoundland. A year ago, next Sunday, Angela and I were there for the grand opening of their first live services as officially as a church. So they've been a year now in the making, or a year now officially open. And of course, what a year it's been to be planting a church. And so this week, I had an interview with Sheldon and Candace just over Zoom, and just to get an update on what's been happening this year and to hear from them. And I asked Sheldon to sort of give us a little, to just share with us a little bit what God has been teaching him through all of this. So I think you're going to enjoy it, and that's here on the screen as well. Hey, Sheldon and Candace, it's great to be able to have this opportunity to chat with you and catch up a little bit on what's happening in St. John's, Newfoundland, or Conception Bay South, to be more specific. Last year, about this time, Angela and I were there for your grand opening, which was awesome. But I can imagine this first year as a church planner was not exactly what you anticipated it being. So what I would like for you to do is just give Harvest City Church just a little taste, or give us a little update on what it's been like this year in your very first year having your doors open.
And you closed. Know,
yeah, and closed. And how are you doing this in the middle of the pandemic?
Yeah, sure, Joel. It's good to be with you guys at Harvest City. And just happy to be able to connect with you this way. Yeah, it's interesting that it's been 1 year, actually, not this Sunday, but next is kind of our 1 year, what would be our 1 year anniversary. And no one could have possibly prepared us for, and I think I can speak for a lot of pastors of a lot of churches, but particularly in church planting, you know, there's just, they don't prep you for this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, Joel, you and Angela were here. We had a great launch in October, and then 5 months later, COVID just came down heavy and hard, and then everything shut down. Really, in a matter of 1 day, our whole province was shut down. And so we were honestly left scrambling and trying to figure out what comes next. It was really intense. And so what happened was, in the early days of COVID, we stopped everything because we had to. We were under, you know, really strict guidelines here in Newfoundland. And so we had to take the church completely online. Now, understand, up to this point, we had zero online presence, with a little bit of Facebook, you know, a little bit of social media, and a website that pretty much no one's ever seen. And because it just, that for whatever reason wasn't a priority in the early days of, you know, gathering and stuff. We were doing, you know, focusing more on people, you know, being in person. And so then overnight we had to kind of shift gears and get everything online. So we started some... our Sunday service went online, and we had a prayer meeting online. We had Bible studies online. We had worship online, and we had never done any of this stuff before. So it's like, hey, how do we live stream? What do we do? What equipment do we need? We didn't know anything. And of course, also in the church plant, we were 5 months old. And so a lot of these families and people, it's not like they had years of history together where they're going to stay together no matter what happens. It's like, these people barely knew these people, and that family barely knew this family, and never really spent time together before. Without, how in the world are we going to keep everybody together during this, right? And so what we did in the early days is we got in the van and we went to people's driveways. We weren't allowed to be close to them. So we said, you know, you stay at your doorstep. We'll stand in your driveway. We'll talk. We'll pray. And we went around to different families in the church and did this. And then, but still, you know, you can't, it's hard to really invest in relationship with all the physical distancing. And then over months of kind of refining our online church experience, you know, we feel like we've been doing a little better at that. It's kind of funny how it's worked out. This coming Sunday is our last pre-reopening live stream. And then from the Sunday that would be our 1 year anniversary is actually going to be our reopening service. just the way it worked out. And God's in it all, of course. And as of the 4th of October, we'll be online and in person. Okay. And so, but I just say, though, in all of that, I've looked at the statistics. I've looked at what God's doing across the church in our country. And I've seen that somewhere in the area of 30% of people are coming back to church. And I've had personal friends who are pastors, and that's been their experience. But I just want to give God praise that in our church at Revive, we have literally, and I'm not exaggerating, we have more than 100% of wow. people before COVID are coming back post-COVID. We have every single person still connected. And actually, during COVID, there's new families been added, and new individuals. And so we're actually, and we had this in a prophetic word. I know I can say this at Harvest City because you guys are all about this. We had a prophetic word on our first or second week away and said, you know what, God spoke, a lady shared with us, God spoke to me that that Revive will come out stronger after COVID than before. And God has done exactly that. And so just awesome. This month, we actually, for the first time now all summer, we actually had a couple of in-person home group, and we had it at our house.
The province lifted some restrictions, and you could have up to 50 people in your backyard. The last week of summer, we decided to do an in-person home group in our backyard.
Okay.
So it was the first time that we'd all been able to gather. There was people there that had never met before, other than maybe they met on our Zoom prayer group or our Zoom group, and that was it. And so it was really neat to see everybody come together in the same place. We had a barbecue, and kids are playing, and at one point, Sheldon and the worship team came out, and we just did some worship in the backyard. And people were kind of scattered everywhere. And so I was just kind of sitting back off and just kind of taking it all in. And as the worship was going on, there was a dad and his daughter standing over here worshiping with a couple of other people sitting in chairs. And then over here, there was a mom and her little girl on the swing set next to a boy from another family, and they're just chatting away. And over on the trampoline, there's teenagers and kids talking and playing and coloring together. Another part of the yard, there's a couple counseling and ministering to another lady, and they're laying on hands and praying for her. Hmm. And I just sat back, and I was so overwhelmed and so overcome with gratitude to the Lord. But just looking around and seeing that this was really the church.
Right.
This was, everybody just brought the Jesus in them, and they just let the Jesus in them come out in so many different ways, in fellowship and community and in ministry and engaging young ones. And you saw people gathering together that wouldn't naturally gather in any other capacity necessarily, and that they would choose to gather together. And I just thought, wow, God, you... it really is your church. Imagine that.
Right.
And there was such community amongst the people. And I thought, this is after being in person for 5 months and then on a screen for 5 months. And God, you still managed to connect people, to gather and to grow your church. And it was, it was absolutely amazing. I'm so thankful to see that that has happened in the midst and in spite of COVID.
That's awesome. Really excited to hear that and just to hear what God has been doing in this last year. It's amazing. And I've watched some of your online stuff, and you guys are doing great with your online stuff. And it's really grown even in the last few months. And I've said this to you, Sheldon, more people need to see the content that you guys are putting out, because it is good stuff. So good for you.
Thank you.
Sheldon, I just to bring this to a conclusion, I'm wondering, has there been anything that God has been speaking to you about in this season that you would want to just share with our church today as we close this conversation?
Yeah, Joel, there has. And I think first of all, looking back over the journey we've been on since COVID, and really the importance of following closely behind Jesus. And, you know, when Jesus called the early disciples, he said, come follow me. And to follow him in that context was to walk with him, to accompany him on his journey. They would have been used to accompanying him, their teacher, wherever he went. And it was more about going the same way as him, not just trailing behind somewhere, hoping to catch a glimpse of what Jesus was doing and what Jesus was up to. To follow him meant to be engaged and to be going the same direction and in the same place where he was. And, you know, COVID happened, and of course, it caught the world by surprise. It caught the medical community by surprise. It caught the governments by surprise. Truth be told, it caught the church by surprise, too. And I mean, for us, it totally, I just said a few minutes ago, like, we were scrambling. We were told so caught off guard. I'm just reflecting recently, like, how closely am I following Jesus? Because the one person that was not taken by surprise with all this was him. And if I was to be, if I think I'm really following closely, why was I not more prepared? And, you know, what's happened is, because everyone's taken off guard, our life, you know, in the church and elsewhere, it's all about adjusting and adapting to what's going on and pivoting. I mean, the catchword of the day is pivot. If I hear the word pivot one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Everyone's pivoting. Businesses are pivoting, and governments are pivoting, and doctors are pivoting. And you know what? Churches, we had to pivot. Mm-hmm. But what if, I'm thinking, what if it's less about adjusting and adapting and pivoting? What if it's more about just drawing near to him and being close enough to him to be able to better discern the season that we're in? And, you know, you look at the Old Testament, Joshua, when he was leading the people over, across the Jordan, you know, they put the ark first, which for us today represents the presence of God. And it says that they did that so that they would know which way to go. Because they hadn't been that way before. And I think that's 2020 in a nutshell for all of us. And then in the New Testament, we look at Paul in Acts chapter 16. He wanted to go to Asia, and it says the Holy Spirit prevented him or wouldn't let him go there. And I think, like, he was a follower. And I know we all say we're followers of Christ, but I've asked myself the question, okay, am I trailing behind, or am I actually going the same way he's going? And if that's the case, you know, perhaps there's a way that we can be more prepared when we don't have to pivot. You know, if I had been leading and following as close as maybe I could have been, this all would have happened. Jesus knew it was happening, and we wouldn't have had to pivot so hard, because we would have been right there. Right. And I know we're all doing our best, and I know we all try to follow God and hear from God. But it's really challenged me. I use the illustration of, you know, if I'm going for a walk with the kids, and if I see danger up ahead, you know, I'm going to pull them aside and I'm going to say, watch out, look at what's ahead, look at what's in front of you now, and we need to make sure we're okay. And I think, you know what, God knew what was happening, and I wonder if perhaps, if I had been following a little more closely, if perhaps we would have been a little more prepared. And I think that applies to us personally, or applies to how, you know, how families and businesses and individuals, but also certainly church, and definitely church planning in a pandemic. I think Jesus has just reminded me of how important it is that I really am following, not just coming up with some good ideas. I think the priority wasn't to be online, but maybe it should have been, and these sorts of things. So I want to just say that's what I sense that God's been speaking to me on and leading me through and challenging me on all at the same time.
That's awesome. I just shared that scripture with our church a couple weeks ago with Joshua, and said we just need to get as close to the ark as we can, because we're going where we've never been before. And God will show us. We just got to make sure we're staying close to the presence of God. So thanks for sharing that. It's so great to just have had this time to connect with you, hear what's going on. We're going to continue to pray for you and support you. You guys are doing awesome, doing a great job. And we're really proud to just be able to get behind you and help you in what you're doing. And really look forward to getting back to Newfoundland one day and seeing the people again. So God bless you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Harvest City. We really appreciate you and miss having not been able to be with you guys this year. We feel that, but thank you for all the love, the encouragement, the prayers, the cards, the texts, the messages. It means a lot to us, so thank you.
Awesome.
What she said. Thank you. words can't express our gratitude. And so thanks, Joel. Thanks to your leadership team and the GIC committee and the church as a whole. We just, we are so grateful to have been on this journey with you. So God bless you.
That's good, hey? Good to hear. You know, one of the things Sheldon has been working, driving truck to help supplement his income, obviously a small church, and so during COVID he was laid off, and then because of all the online stuff that they were doing, he had the time to do it, and then they wanted him to come back to work, and he worked for a week, and then he called me and he said, "Joel, I think I need to quit my job. There's just too much that's happening." And so he's decided to quit his job and take a real step of faith that God will provide for them. And so actually it was really nice that with the additional offering that we took, the COVID relief, that we were able to send Sheldon some money and say, "Hey, we got some extra resources for you." And so let's continue to pray for those guys. They are awesome. They're doing a great work in Newfoundland. All right, well, just to bring the service to a close, as I mentioned before, we take up a faith commitment offering every year. And the way the offering works is we ask you to make a commitment, not to us necessarily, but more towards the Lord, as to what you believe God for that you can give over the coming year. And so we ask you to write that commitment down for us. We never come back and follow up and say, "You said you were going to give this." We've never done that in 14 years of doing this. You know that to be the case. But the reason why we ask you to make that commitment and write it down for us is that we try to determine as the money comes in how much we think is going to come in. You've always been faithful to honor those commitments, and so it helps us to know how much that we can dole out throughout the course of the year. And so we ask you to make that commitment. Next April is when we're planning to have our next conference, Lord willing. And so the commitment would be what you could give between now and April. Now, some of you have been continuing to give over these last number of months, just on a monthly basis. And so today, as we make the commitment, it's from what you could give from now until April. And our initial budget that we were going to have in April was going to be $235,000, but we've shrunk that budget down to $150,000, because there's been money that has come in over the last number of months from some of you. So we don't need to raise $235,000 because we've already raised a significant amount of the money. So our goal then is to raise $150,000 as a church between now and April of next year. And so here's how we're going to do it. You can go on to our church website, harvestconnect.ca, and you will see the box there that says Faith Commitment Offering. Click on the box. All the instructions are there. It'll literally take you 30 seconds to do it, where you can put in what you're believing God for this year. And then if you would actually like to give to the offering, there'll be a button there that says click here to actually give, and it'll take you to the giving portion of our website. Or if you're like my mother and barely know how to turn on a computer and want to do it the old-fashioned way with the envelope, we do have envelopes here this morning. And Jenny Kana is going to be standing at the gym door on the way out, and she can hand you one of those envelopes. And so on the envelope, it just has the date, and it says, "My Global Focus Faith Commitment Offering for this year is," and there's a blank to fill in. And if you do want to make a contribution today, you can say "today's offering is," and put in that amount as well. We have the envelopes at the window as you leave also. So what we'd like to do is sort of collect that over this coming week, and next Sunday, hopefully, then we can announce the total of what has been committed. So go online and make your commitment today if you can, and over the coming weeks, and we'll announce that. Sound good? All right, well, next week we're going to be hearing from our international partners via video, and we got some other exciting things planned for next week as well, so you don't want to miss. Continue to tune in online for that, but that is our service for today.